The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to give our fathers to us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror and signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on his name, on the name of the Lord, will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny on that hymn we specified the first four verses? I almost wanted to add five just to see what would happen. Well, the text for today's message was our gospel lesson. And throughout the gospels, we consistently see Christ showing us his humanity, but also showing and proving again and again that he is God. And he was fully human, except for he never sinned. In this text, we have that word tempt, Satan's tempting. Well, tempt has two meanings. One is to entice to do something evil or wrong. And that's especially dangerous to us humans because we have all inherited from Adam original sin. Since Jesus did not have an earthly father, he didn't have original sin. So he was in the state, in a sense, what Adam was back in the garden without sin. When Adam was tempted, he and Eve sinned. Jesus is going to be tempted in this gospel lesson to see if the Son of God himself would basically break God's will. The second meaning of the word tempt is test, to prove something. Like you test silver, you know, to make sure it's true. How do you test gold to make sure it's real gold? Oh, come on, haven't you seen the old pirate movies? They pick up a coin, arg! That's just stupid. But that's how they would test gold. But God never tests us in the sense of trying to get us to do what is wrong. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man." In the wilderness, Jesus is going to prove two things. He is God and he is man, and he's going to pass the test. So are we human beings capable of everything? Well, anything, if I can tempt you. Well, maybe I shouldn't put me personally. But everybody has a certain breaking point. Too much pressure. If the temptation is way too long, people will eventually succumb. You know, the old line, every man has his price. Matthew also records this event, says Jesus was driven into the desert. The Holy Spirit is driving him into the desert because this is his test. 40 days he doesn't eat. The longest I can fast, 6 hours. For Ben, it's 10 minutes. All right. After what? 12 hours? Everybody's whining. I'm dying. I'm starving. You know. No, you're not actually dying or starving. All right. Now, he's gone 40 days. We know that people will generally starve to death somewhere between the 6th and 7th week. So he is right at the end of human endurance. And the question is, will he satisfy his own hunger? Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Notice he's quoting scripture. No, I don't need that. I will rely on my Father in heaven. So then the devil takes him up to Jerusalem, to the very top of the temple. And I wish I could do that slithery voice just right. "But if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." Now, remember when we're going through the liturgy in that first part, the psalm, you know, responsive reading back and forth? Satan took out some key words.
which tells us Satan knows Scripture so well that he's tempting by just twisting it a little bit. Take out a couple of words. After all, if you take out a couple of words, does it really affect it? You see how he does that very subtle temptation. I quoted it. Granted, I didn't quote it entirely. That would be his defense. And that's the tactic he will use. Would it really hurt you if? But Jesus answers, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, what Satan took out of that was, and he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Not you can jump and the angels will bear you up and protect you. No, what the actual verse says is the angels will help so that he does not come off the path and also that we don't come off the path. Then the devil takes him up to a very high mountain. I love this. Shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. Imagine fast forwarding through history. All the way from the beginning, up all the kingdoms and empires, and then from that point forward to see them all. Of course, I'm sure Satan never showed him falling. Then Satan says, all this is mine. Do you want this? This is a real psychological temptation because Christ came to save the world. And Satan's saying, you can have it, but you don't have to die on the cross to get it. Don't you want to take the easy route? Every time Jesus is tempted, he always counters with Scripture. And sometimes our problem is we just don't know Scripture well enough to be able to quote it, even if it's in our own head, saying, no, this is what I should be doing because God says X, Y, or Z. Notice the devil never argues back with Christ. Jesus quotes Scripture and then Satan's done. He moves on to the next one. By the way, tempted at the end of 40 days, the way that word is mentioned in there, it's not at the very end of the 40 days. He's been tempted all along. Now, at the 40 day, now you have these three. But he's been tempted for 40 days. The devil is relentless. You guys remember the movie Terminator? Gene remembers it. It's their favorite movie. The Terminator was relentless. No matter how bad he got banged up, he was still coming. That's Satan. He never quit. He just keeps chipping away. And he's oh so subtle. See, he never attacks in a way that we see as full evil. He's always subtle. If you are the Son of God and you're hungry, why not make these stones into bread? See, the temptation's always not only for Christ, but for us. Do something a little outside the will of God. Is it really wrong to speed in a 65 mile an hour zone if you go 67? No. How about 68, 69, 70? Yeah, you're just a little bit over. Well, now that you're going 70, you see how he does that? He keeps pushing the boundary. I usually stop listening to that when I hit 80. And again, remember, Satan always twists and corrupts Scripture. And on that temptation, you have all the kingdoms of the world. It's obvious he owns the world because Christ doesn't argue with him on that basis. And I mean, we can see the work of Satan very evident in the world today. Just to go back to this idea of he was driven into the wilderness where the Holy Spirit sent him where he had to go. All the others through human history had failed when temptation hit him. Adam very clearly did when he ate the fruit. Noah, well, he clearly failed as soon as he could. I love it. The very first thing that Noah is recorded doing after the flood, grow a vineyard and got drunk. Without football? Well, okay. All right. He failed. Abraham failed several times through Scripture. You know, really blatant failures. And David is the Old Testament version of the Godfather. You know, as I told you, on his deathbed even. Now, Solomon, I'm about to die, but I got a list of people I need whacked before the sun goes down, okay? Take care of them. Take Luigi with you if you need. But these men are all described as after God's own heart. And when you think of these great men of the Bible or great women of the Bible, they're all tempted and they all fail. So there's only really one hero in the Bible. We talk about biblical heroes. Really the only true hero, pure hero, is Christ himself. And at the end of this section of Scripture, it says the angels and the animals came to minister to him. Do you ever think about that, the animals? Animals know their creator. Isn't that amazing? Here's one case where animals are actually smarter than us. Because a lot of people in our world today are so arrogant as to say there is no God and every animal seems to know it. That's just an amazing thought. So now when I'm going to look at my stupid cat, well, at least he's got one thing right, you know. Only thing right. And Scripture's clear. Creation itself moans for God to come back. All these temptations in this section of Scripture, those are temptations we all fail. Don't we have to take care of the needs of the body? Well, you can argue, well, certainly I do. So if you have to do a little shady thing every now and again, is it really bad? See, the world says, eat, drink, and be happy, for tomorrow we die. Oh, we've heard that all too often. I remember in college proudly going off, or I should say conceitedly going off, when we were about to do something and say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, but not tonight. And the nations of the world, everybody wants power to some level. Workplaces, even y'all who are retired. Think about the workplace. I bet everybody who's worked can say the same thing. There was backstabbing going on. Why? Just to chip their way a little higher to the top. We want the power. Even in government, they want the power. By making us dependent on them, they control and provide. Jesus consistently, with all these temptations, is focusing everybody's attention back to God. And the final temptation, throw yourself off the temple, show your power. If you can do it, why not? Kind of like not saying the little girl selling me Girl Scout cookies sin. But she says, I can do some double back flip with a vanilla twist at the end or something or another. I don't know. And she says, if I do it, will you buy my cookies? So guess what I said? Sure. So she had to show me she could do it. Satan sometimes comes and says, well, if you're really free, shouldn't you be deciding what you want to do? And Satan throws everything. As I said, this was not just three temptations at the end. He has been pounding Christ for 40 straight days. And I said early in the sermon, everybody has a breaking point. Christ didn't break. Only he could possibly win against all these temptations. It says in the beginning of this that Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. Only with God's help can we possibly resist temptations. And it just says, and Satan departed at the end for a more opportune time. So he's not gone. He's always going to be in the background. Remember the movie The Passion of the Christ? It bugged me until I figured out what it meant. Satan is in that all the time. You see him in the background. And it kind of bugged me, like, why? Where does Scripture say that? It dawned on me. What they were trying to portray in that movie is Satan's never gone. He's always in the background. And I've watched that movie with new eyes. He's tempting Christ. He's tempting Mary. He's tempting people. Little temptations, always in the background. Of Satan, we read in 1 Peter, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Which is true. All right? If Satan was actually to come at us with truly who he is, all right, be sort of like the equivalent. You see a lioness come racing up on you, what are you going to do? All right? You kind of got that. All of us would be afraid. But what about when he comes subtly? Because we read in 1 Peter, it says, "And no wonder, for Satan transforms himself into an angel of light." In other words, he can appear good and harmless, but of course his core is evil itself. And by the way, Satan has a very low opinion of us. He said in Job, "Skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life." In other words, every man and woman has their price, and they'll do whatever they have to survive. I know, I'm making another movie reference, Titanic. Remember that? There was a lot of things in that movie bugged the daylights out of me that I'm finding loose ends and inconsistencies, and I finally found out why they had these inconsistencies in the movie. Do you remember the scene? The Titanic's gone down, all right? And Rose is sitting up climbs up on the door. And then Jack comes up. It looks like she's pulling him up. The way the movie was originally filmed, she's shoving him back. You know, it's such a romantic movie. In the end, Rose is making sure Jack doesn't get on the door. And that's when Jack says, "It's okay, let me go." We go, "Oh, that was so touching." No, the way it was originally written, he's just saying, "I can't hold on." And he lets go. It's no great act of love. She had pushed him off. And throughout the rest of her life, she is self-centered. Because what does she do at the end of the movie with that extremely expensive gem? She throws it in the ocean. And I'm screaming, "That's worth money!" The way it was originally written, she put the diamond on and jumped into the water to die. See, that movie has a whole different twist. Because the whole story is really, Rose will do anything to survive. So when you watch that movie again, you'll growl at Rose. Not that Jack's any saint either. But, and Jesus and ourselves, we are tempted to always take the easy route. You've got some lessons in this besides the ones I've talked about. Temptation is a constant. Satan is constantly bombarding us to sin. And if we try to resist this all alone, how well are we going to do? Thank you, Larry. Not too well. We're going to fail miserably. See, you kind of put that a little soft. No, we're going to fail miserably and fail big. That's why we have to rely on God. Notice it's not our power that resists. It's God giving us the power to resist. And God is always our help and our refuge. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.